Please open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll read the entire chapter as we remember the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and as we remember our life as the last Sunday of 2024. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is part of God's holy and living and life-giving word. We read Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the streets are shut, and the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desires fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the street. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads. Then, like nails, firmly fixed are the collected right sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have read your word and are about to ponder its meaning, Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would provide understanding, light of understanding, that we might understand and grow in the knowledge of you, that we might be wise in the midst of this world and in the midst of our brief life. For Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, it's the last Sunday of the year. 2024 is almost entirely history, and 2025 is almost the present. And so, as we have done in the last few years, it's been our custom to use this Sunday to remember, to ponder the past, or to think about time and life and how we live in this world, to remember God's blessings of the past year and the things that we have learned from one another and from the Lord. And so this morning, we will see what God wants us to remember in the Lord's Supper and what he wants us to remember as we go through life. We do this in the book of Ecclesiastes, which was likely written, as many see, by King Solomon. The book of Ecclesiastes is famous for saying, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And I think there is a tendency to confuse what the book of Ecclesiastes is teaching. I've always loved this book, but recently it's been opening up a little bit more as a new book came out. And in his book, Don't Waste Your Breath is the title, Brian Borkman explains that the word translated vanity or useless or meaningless really means transient or brief or passing. So in other words, what the author is saying, it's not everything is meaningless, it's all useless, but what he's really saying, everything is brief, it's passing by quickly. In other words, the book of Ecclesiastes is saying that life is short. It quickly passes by. Whatever you do, it's passing quickly. Whether you enjoy yourself, it passes quickly, or whether you're not enjoying yourself, it passes quickly. Whether you are rich, life will pass quickly and then you'll die. And when you're poor, your life will pass quickly and then you'll die. And so in this book of wisdom, it ponders the idea of brevity of life, the shortness of life, for 11 chapters. And then it comes with the conclusion in chapter 12 to remember four things. To remember four things in the midst of this brief life. And he pairs them in two pairs. First, we are to remember our Creator, and we are to remember eternity. And then we are to remember wisdom and God's coming judgment. But this morning, we're going to spend our time remembering these four things. The first two things are found in the first eight verses. Let me read it again. It's a beautiful passage. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, and the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the streets are shut, and the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. The first thing we are to remember is our Creator. In all the busyness of life, it is easy to forget our Creator. It is easy to live for the present, to live for ourselves without remembering the one who created us. Now, if you notice that what he said, it says, remember your Creator when you are young. Children, young people, remember your Creator when you are young. Why is that? Aren't we supposed to remember our Creator all the days of our life? Why is he saying, remember him when you are young? Because youth is the time before evil sets in, before hardship really hits your life, before your life gets busy, stress on every side, 100 things to be concerned about. In your youth, even though you think you're busy, you're not busy, as you will one day be. You're not dealing with the cares and the worries and the anxieties that one day you will care for. When you are young, life gives you time to remember your Creator, to set your life in a way that is right, and not to just hit your life and see where it ends. When I was young, I had this idea in my mind, and many of my peers of my young age with me, we said, well, when we are old, we're going to live just our own life, and then when we're 80 years old, then we become religious, ask for forgiveness, and go to heaven, get the best of both worlds. Maybe you wouldn't say it out loud, but maybe you thought that, or when you were young and before the Lord did a work in your heart. I'm going to live my life the way I want it, and then in the end, I want to go to heaven, so then I'll make a U-turn, and then go to heaven, and I'll have both. But the book of Ecclesiastes gives us wisdom. And he knows, because he has lived longer, what is going to happen after youth. And you can ask any older person here in this room, and you will hear the same answer. When you're young, you think, I'm going to do this, that, or the other. Because you don't see all the stresses that older people deal with. All the anxieties, all the worries, all the cares, whether it be financial or health or family dynamics or friendships or global economics or disasters or all those kind of things. They have not hit your peripheral view yet. But when you get a little older, life gets filled with worries, isn't it? And so the book of Ecclesiastes says, don't make the mistake saying, one day I will think about my Creator. One day I will worry about God, because you're going to be a different man when you're old. You're going to be a different woman in a different life. Your life will not be like it is today. Now you are carefree. When you wake up in the morning, you're not thinking, is there food in the fridge? No, you know your mom and dad will take care of it. You're not worrying about your health because your health is good. You're not worrying about who's going to pay the bills this month. You never see them. They don't even pass your desk. Or maybe you don't even have a desk. But one day you will. One day your life will be filled with challenges. Now, if you look at your Creator when you're young, God will give you the strength to cope with all those challenges, to walk through it. But if you don't look at your Creator when you're young, it is very likely that you will never have the thought of thinking about your Creator when you're old, because your mind will be filled with other things. And so Ecclesiastes says, remember your Creator. Before life happens, before difficult days enter in to your life. And so children, now is the time to think about God. Now is the time to aim towards Christ, to learn about God, to say in your heart, God, I want to seek you, for that is the way of life. If you turn a different direction, you will go to death. But if you aim at Christ, you will go to life. Remember your Creator when you're young. Brings us to the second remembrance. This is for young and old. Because if you notice, the book of Ecclesiastes, I'm not sure if you're as in love with poetry as I am and some of us are, but I love this chapter because of its poetic power. It's describing things in a beautiful way. And I'm tempted to read it over and over again, but I'll just do the last few verses. Verses 5 to 8 is the focus on remembering eternity. Listen to what he says. He starts from youth in verse 1, and now verse 5, he comes all the way through life, and he says this, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 5, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the street. What are these mourners doing? They're mourning for this man that is going to his eternal home. You see the picture? This man is flying away to his eternal home, and mourners go about the street. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. In other words, before life falls apart, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, your body is laid to rest, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, or brevity of brevity, all is brevity. It flies by. Remember your youth and your Creator. In the same chapter, it says you're going into eternal home. That's life. You're born, your life is in front of you, and then mourners go around on the streets mourning the passing of your life. It flies by like a breath. It's gone. Solomon draws a short line between our youth and our funeral service and concludes, life is but a breath, beloved. It flies by, and soon people will be mourning on the street, walking together with sober faces as they remember your life, because you will be gone, off to your eternal home. Your dust will be laid in the earth, and the Lord will require your spirit to come home. Life is short. It's really like a dream, isn't it? Life is like a dream. Not because it's just wonderful, it's like a wonderful, happy dream. But sometimes it feels forever and then it suddenly ends. We live it, but we don't grasp its brevity. And suddenly we wake up in eternity. Suddenly we are in our eternal home. Life just flies by. If you're 40 years old, what was your 40 years? If you're 70 years old, what do you remember of your 70 years? If you're 90 years old, wasn't it but a breath that flew by? You maybe have some spotted memories of the past, but it's almost like a jump. You left off, and before you know it, whoop, you're at the end. And then you're about to come to your eternal home. In a short time, this breath is gone. So the question is, are we planning for eternity? Are we remembering eternity? How do we live in 2024? Were we planning for our eternal home? Not just for your funeral service, but for eternity. Are you living your life decorating the hotel room in which you stay for one night, or the eternal home in which you are going? Are we preoccupied with our temporal home, our temporal life, full with worries and cares about today, even though we don't know what's coming tomorrow? Or are we preparing ourselves for the life that we know will come, eternity that will come? Beloved, I'm afraid that most of us overthink this present life and underrate eternal life. We're so stacked and packed in this short little life, getting our wheels to spin all day long, our heart to be anxious all day long about this little short life, and maybe even smaller things of, what do they think of me? Or what am I going to be in 10 years? And forget what we will be in eternity. We would think it's crazy if somebody stays in a hotel room for one night, orders the carpet layers and orders new windows, a new bathroom, get everything fixed up in this room, and leaves his own house to fall apart. But aren't that what we do so easily? And this is why Ecclesiastes is here, because the Bible knows our weakness. We have a tendency to be stuck and sucked into this world. And so Ecclesiastes helps us step back and say, look at your life. You started here, now you're here. What is your life? It is but a breath. You wake up and you go to sleep and you go home. The Bible calls us to think deeply about eternity and to remember our Creator all the days of our life. You say, well, how do I prepare for eternity? I mean, I don't even understand eternity. How do I remember? How do I prepare myself for eternity? Go back to the beginning of the chapter. Remember your Creator. Okay, I was created. All right, take the next step. What does that mean? Well, what do you do when you create something? You give it a purpose. You don't just create something for no reason. You create it for a purpose. So then we come to the second question. Well, what is my purpose? To be an image bearer of God in this world. Primary purpose. Now, as Christians, we bear Christ's image and we glorify Him towards one another in the church and then in the world. That's what it means to think eternally. How can I serve God all the days of my life? This is not much difference from the New Testament. The New Testament calls us to live by faith, which means to live in a life trusting in God, following after Christ, having your mind consumed with your Creator. In the same way that some people are consumed with money, we are consumed with our Creator. In the same way that some people are consumed with what other people think of them, we become consumed with our Creator. Lord, what do you have me do today? Third, second set of two things. Second part of chapter 12 brings us to the conclusion, and he gives us two more things to remember: wisdom and judgment. So in the first section of chapter 12, we're thinking about youth and about eternity, about the timeline. Think of God in the beginning. Think of God as you will go to Him. And now it becomes practical. Live a wise life and live a life knowing that one day you'll be judged for everything you do and say. Here's the passage. Besides being wise, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goats and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. This verse alone is an amazing verse. My son, beware of anything beyond these, of making many books, there's no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good
or evil.
Let's begin with this wisdom we are to remember. He gives us two things, and they're very quick, but we don't have this idea in our mind all the time, so let's think about this for a minute. Wisdom, Solomon describes as goats and fur and nails that hold firm. Now, goats were, they're not the animal, because that's with a T, but goats are the pointy sticks that you use to kind of pry an ox along as he's plowing. Wisdom is like that. Wisdom helps you move along. It pokes you. It awakens you. This is what life is about. And nails were used to keep a house together so that it wouldn't fall apart. That's the way we use it today, right? We use nails in many applications. And so Solomon tells us, treasure the words of the wise. In other words, remember wisdom and put yourself in them. For they are given by one shepherd. I mean, he's really putting everything together in this short passage, isn't he? So let's think this through for a second. Wisdom is given by one shepherd. He is, of course, God. Or as we see in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. He's the one who gives wisdom. That wisdom that he gives helps us in two ways. One, it moves us along in life in the right direction. The bull, we don't go plowing off the wrong way and go to the neighbor's field, but the wisdom of God helps us to plow and do the work that he has given us to do to move us in the right direction. It pricks us and moves us forward. But it's also like nails who hold our life together that it doesn't fall apart. That's what the Word of God does to your life. It holds you together and it moves you forward. And they are the words of your loving Creator, your Shepherd. You see this? This is what reading the Bible does. It is God speaking to you, moving you forward every time you read it, and holding your life together. This is why you cannot read the Word of God 15 times when you're 12, and then not read it for the rest of your life, because then you'll move forward, but then you'll stop. And you fall apart, because the nails get old and rusty. You've got to read God's Word constantly, because you've got to keep moving forward. And your life has got to stay together, because the winds increase over time. Now, one more thing about wisdom. How do we remember wisdom? Wisdom is different from knowledge. Knowledge is to know things, but I may know many things and still be a fool in my life. As a matter of fact, there are many scientists who are brilliant and have a lot of knowledge, but whose life is absolute disaster. Think about Nietzsche, for example, who had a lot of knowledge. He knew many things. He was a scholar, but his life was falling apart. He had no wisdom. He didn't know how to think rightly and put everything orderly and then practice it accordingly. He was misled. But wisdom is true knowledge applied. Knowledge applied to life. It's a skill learned over time by pondering the practical application of what you have learned. You see, somebody might be an excellent teacher of Scripture, but never ponder what that means for his or her life. You see that, unfortunately, in pastors as well. We might know many things, we might sway people and explain it all, but not know how to live it in day-to-day life, in practice. At home, or in the workplace, or relating to one another, or seeking your life forward. But wisdom needs to be pondered. In other words, you and I need to spend life thinking on God's Word. Thinking God's Word. What does this mean? All right, I read it. I've gone through the text, but have I thought of the text? Have I thought of God's Word? I know Psalm 1, but do I know it to the extent that I live it? Do I meditate upon God's law day and night? That's different, isn't it? Do I live it? A wise person is one who has a lot of knowledge, but then has taken that knowledge to application, knowing how to live and how it all fits together and walk accordingly to that knowledge. This is almost, in most people's life, the most important thing to work on. Not to read the Bible, I think you should read the Bible once a year if you're able to. But it's more important to think on what you're reading after you're done with it. When you read it, you've got the sources together, you gathered in the building materials, now you need to construct it in your life. So as you walk away, sometimes I think if you want to have a practical way of doing this, if you read a chapter, as soon as you're done at the end of the chapter, look, glaze over it quickly again to make you fit everything together. And then the rest of your day, you're walking around constructing this passage in your life and in your heart and in your mind, thinking through this passage during the day. And maybe you take a little note card with you and write the chapter in 4 words. You know the Bible. You can use 4 words. Parable of the Good Shepherd. Put that in your mind the rest of your day, and you're going to be thinking about the details of what you read. First, you think, what does it really mean? Constructing your life. And then you start thinking, but what does it mean in my life today that I have a good shepherd? Wait a minute, why do I have all these anxieties while all I am is a little sheep? I have a good shepherd. Why am I anxious about all these things? Sheep don't have to be anxious. Sheep just have to follow the voice of the shepherd. I don't have to be anxious. My life is but a breath, but it's God's breath into me that gives me hope. Remember wisdom. Last point. Remember God's judgment. This is the end of the matter in verse 13. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, to follow after God and do his will. And the reason. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. I wish that would be written on our eyelids. Wouldn't that save a lot of trouble? And keep us from a lot of things. Maybe it should be written on our lips. Wouldn't that close our mouth a little more often? God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. He hears it all, he sees it all, he weighs it all, and he judges it all. Solomon urges us to remember the coming judgment and to be prepared. To fear God and keep his commandments, in other words, to walk in the will of God. But what his book really closes with is life is but a breath and it flies by, and then comes the judgment of it all. And you'll be before God. And then comes the judgment. If we look at our own lives, are we ready to meet God? Are we ready to be judged for all that we've done, all that we have said? Even if we look at our Christian life, take it up from there, that when we begin to following the Lord, can we stand? Sometimes we may fear, what if the Lord rejects me at last? Well, this morning, I think we have the perfect remembrance to help us not live in fear, but to live in joy. For as a Christian, when we look at the judgment of God that is coming, we at the same time remember the judgment of God that has been on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That he has purchased us, cleansed us, paid for every sin by our lips, in our heart, in our actions, that he has washed it all, past sins, present sins, future sins, deathbed sins. He washed it all.
And so through the Lord's Supper, we remember the coming judgment soberly, knowing that God will see all those things.
And so we refrain from walking according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. But at the same time, we're comforted and we have a bold assurance to enter into the presence of the Lord through what Christ has done for us in paying for all our sins.
And so in the Lord's Supper, as we gather before Him this morning, let us remember,
whether you're young, let us remember our Creator. Let's remember our life flies by and soon we will go to our eternal home. Let us remember the wisdom that God has given us in His Word so that we might walk day by day in His will. Let us remember that we're coming to His throne of judgment. But in that, let us remember today that we can appear before Him because Christ has gone before Him with His blood to make atonement for our sins, for our lives. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, we're so thankful for your loving kindness to bring us here before you in this brief life, but a moment, and then we stand before you. Lord, help us now remember that moment when you paid for our sins, when you shed your blood, O Lord Jesus Christ, and you gave your body to be our life. That moment that lasts in its power and its efficacy forever. For Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.